Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Thursday, June 9th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. It's great to be here. We're glad you're tuning in. Mm-hmm. Lisa, how about yesterday's show?
That was great. Michael Corbin's awesome.
Yeah, we want to thank everyone for the feedback that you've given us. It seems like everyone enjoyed that. And how refreshing was it, Lisa, to have someone that stood up and said when something's wrong?
A radio talk show host who promotes direct activism and engages in it himself instead of just passing around a video.
Right. And this isn't just some schmuck off the street.
Right.
Michael Corbin is an unimpeachable source. In other words, he doesn't have any baggage attached to him,
mm-hmm.
and he's just impeccable in his views. And for him to come out there and reinforce what we've been saying for months now, it was so gratifying. And, you know, there's so many people in this field, Lisa, that build themselves as being consciences of the movement that have been so disappointing that,
to say the least.
Yeah, that it's great. Now, if you've missed the show yesterday, what we're going to do is Lisa transcribed that section of the show where Michael Corbin talked about GCN, where he talked about Violet Jones and Alex Jones, and we're going to run that as a lead article tomorrow. So, but we're going to refresh you, anyone that missed that show. And basically, what did he say about his appearance when he guest-hosted for 3 days for Alex Jones?
He guest-hosted for Alex Jones for 3 days and did it as a professional courtesy.
Received no pay.
Received no pay for doing it. Didn't receive a thank you even for doing it. Instead, he got chastised by Violet Jones, who's Alex Jones' wife,
right,
for not pushing Alex's videos hard enough because their video sales had dropped during that 3 days Alex was gone.
Yeah.
And even though Michael told her that he felt uncomfortable pushing the videos in the same way Alex does, she apparently didn't care, and she was pretty nasty about it, and I guess he was never asked back on there again.
Now think about this. Alex's show, in case you don't know, is 3 hours every
mm-hmm.
day. So right there, Michael Corbin gave 9 hours of his life for no pay. But it takes a lot more than that to prepare for a show. I know with Wing
right.
TV, this show usually goes about 25 minutes, but it takes anywhere from 4 to 5 hours to put the whole show together, not even mentioning what we have to do to research, to get hold of guests and so forth. So we figured Michael Corbin probably put in anywhere from 15 to 18 hours of his life, and during the last hour of his third day appearance, he gets a phone call from Violet Jones, who chews him out for not pushing the video,
yeah.
for not doing what Alex does. Bye, 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 bye.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
And he said he even called Alex Jones sure. afterward and tried to talk to him and didn't get any return phone call from him. Or
no thank you. Not even the courtesy to return his phone call. Now, you know, anyone that listens to Alex Jones' show knows that he uses two words a whole lot. One of them is scum. In other words, he'll say, that person is scum. Or he'll say, vomit, like that person makes me want to vomit. Well, after listening yesterday to Michael Corbin, who is an upstanding, courteous man, after listening to what Alex Jones and Violet Jones did to them, I have one thing to say right now. Alex Jones, you are the one that's scum, and both of you make us want to vomit for what you've done to Michael Corbin. You should be absolutely ashamed of yourselves for acting that way. And it's just an embarrassment to this entire movement, and we're glad that Michael Corbin had the courage to stand up and expose you scum, for what you've done. So there, Alex, take a little bit of your own medicine now. Do you agree?
Yeah. I mean, I don't feel quite nauseous, but...
Now, let's move on. And we're going to touch upon this a little bit later in the show. First of all, we have to announce that this is going to serve as our weekend show. Tomorrow we're going to go up and see a speech by Evel Knievel, the great daredevil, the king of the daredevils, Evel Knievel. So we're going to be traveling out of town. We won't be able to do this show. So this is going to be on until Monday. And we're going to finish the show with a few words about Evel Knievel.
Right, and the article that Victor was going to run tomorrow, he's going to run next Friday.
Right, we're still doing some research into this whole Jack Blood thing. We're going to touch upon that too. But first of all, we're going to run through a few things. First of all, we got Nico Haupt, who made a great comment the other day. Tell him he was talking about 9/11 truth.
And I don't know. What did he say?
Well, he was saying there's this big thread going on, and he said that 9/11 Truth should actually be charged as war criminals.
Oh, right. 9/11truth.org?
Yeah. Over at The Hague.
Right.
And these are people like Nicholas Levis, David Kubiak, Kyle Hanse.
The gatekeepers.
Guy. Yeah, the gatekeepers. Kyle Hanse, the one who said that Americans aren't ready for the truth about 9/11. And we couldn't agree more with Nico.
Yeah, they should be tried as war criminals in the court of public opinion right here in America.
Right. This group, 911truth.org, has done more to conceal and suppress true information about 9/11 than any other group.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's just, I know Nico was probably making that comment in jest, but I'm serious about it. They should be tried as criminals.
And why aren't they more into direct activism?
Exactly.
Why aren't they?
Yeah. Now, let's get into some national and global issues. First of all, the European Union, or as it's now being called, the European Disunion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's so disjointed.
European bomb.
Yeah. And recently, Britain came out, one of their statesmen, and says that they're not even going to have a vote on this European Union constitution.
Why bother?
Yeah. They said because it would be senseless to vote on something that's already dead. And the water, and as we've said already on the show, Lisa, the powers that be are not happy with what's happening over in
Europe.
Too
late to save face.
Right. Now, in this country, we have army enlistment down.
Well, first of all, let me get back. If Germany and Latvia and some of the other countries had been allowed to vote for that EU constitution, I'm sure the people of those countries, we may have seen a whole different consensus, yeah. But those governments voted for them.
You know, and that's a good point that you reminded me of that, because I got an email from someone that said you should point out that these countries that did ratify this, they were the ones that didn't allow their people to vote on it.
Right.
Their governments voted on it. So as soon as two countries that allowed their people to vote on it, France and the Dutchmen, as soon as they did it,
the leaders of the countries that voted yes, they didn't trust their own people enough to go along and just go along with the whole plan, so they voted for them. But it would have been interesting to see what the populations of those countries, how they would have voted.
It probably would be right now 11-0.
And thanks to the listener who emailed us about that. We appreciate you bringing it up.
Yeah, and we're glad you pointed out. Now, in this country, for the fourth or fifth month in a row now, army enlistment in the toilet.
Darn.
It goes down every month. And you know this can't be making the powers that be happy either, because they want this war machine to be very hungry and they want it to keep going.
Well, they have lots of congressmen who have children. Send them over. And how about Bush's daughters? And how about Chelsea Clinton? And some of our mainstream radio talk show host warmongers like Mike Gallagher. He has four draft-age sons.
That would
go
help
for
four.
It.
Yeah, plus everyone from the multinational corporations that have children. Those would all help.
All the neocons.
Exactly. But it doesn't seem that they're breaking down the doors to enlist for the service. So, you know.
Have at it.
Yeah. Now, probably the most distressing news of the day, of the last week or so. General Motors announced the other day, their CEO, that you're going to lay off 25,000 workers. Now, do you know, Lisa, that one of every six jobs in this country is somehow related to General Motors? Mm. One of every six. And I'm working on an article now. I probably won't be done with it for a couple of weeks. But what we're seeing is that General Motors is basically just going to end up closing their factories in this country and move everything over to China.
Gee, what a shocker, huh?
Yeah, and there's an old saying, as GM goes, so goes America. Well, if that's the case, folks, we're in big, big trouble. And it's just, what they're doing now also, as everybody knows, that United, the airline, bailed out on their pensions. But what GM...
You know what they're doing? They're outsourcing the American dream.
That's it. That's a good way to put it. That's the perfect way to put it. And now, it looks like GM is going to follow suit with United and bail out on their pension plans. And I was reading an article yesterday that said that of all the companies in this country that have pension plans set up for the workers, well, they only have about 69% of the money on hand that they owe out. Now, what are they doing? They're acting just like our government, where everybody pays into Social Security, and the government comes in and what? They steal the money out of Social Security and use it for other programs. Well, that's exactly what these companies are doing now, too.
Hey, GM workers, you had enough yet?
Exactly. Now, what they want to do is push all this onto the government. There's a thing called the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation that says that if companies bail out, then the government is the one that reimburses mm-hmm. the pension, but only a certain percentage of it. But with United and GM both bailing, what this is going to do is cause this program, this Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, to crash, and that's no longer going to be in existence. So people that are working for these companies right now, if you have a pension, you better keep a very, very yeah. close eye on it, because they're in serious trouble. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, we said before, Lisa, that it seems like we're in a holding pattern in this country.
Right.
It's like everyone just is waiting for the next shoe to drop. And with this European disunion, with GM, with Army enlistment down, everyone's wondering, what's the next thing going to be? I mean, what's going to happen next? And when you look at George Bush, he's a lame duck now. I mean, I think his presidency...
He's been a lame duck.
Yeah. I mean, I think his presidency is pretty much over. He's going to try to push through Social Security and all that, but he's done. He has 3.5 more years of being done. So
like that banner says, evolution, still just a theory with a picture of Bush's
yeah.
face.
Yeah. Now, they're already making preparations for the 2008 election. Regrettably, we might get stuck with Hillary on the Democratic ticket, but listen to this idea yeah. that they're coming up with. They want to actually make now elections 1 month long. 1 month long. So it's called the no-excuse election, where, you know, you see, they say you have a whole month, so anyone can go at any time. But what they want
to
do...
You need to vote.
To vote, yeah.
Okay.
And what they want to do is they want to centralize all the locations. Instead of having all these different precincts everywhere, just make a few centralized voting places. That means they don't need as much for handicap.
Whose idea was this?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because what it boils down to is the more centralized anything becomes, the easier
right.
it is to mess around with.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
You know? And so if you have all these different precincts and school cafeterias and VFWs and so forth, it's harder to get to the machines.
But who came up with the idea?
Well, the Democratic National Convention, they're the ones that want...
Is this their idea of plan?
Right. And actually, the RNC, it's the people that run the whole show want this. And but one thing they don't want, and they're still very resistant against, is they don't want to give voters a paper receipt
right.
that can prove who they voted for. So they have all these other big highfalutin ideas, but they don't want to give you that receipt because it's too much trouble. But every time we go to the grocery store or you go to an ATM, what do you get?
You get
the receipt, but they don't want to give that to you.
Now, see, that sounds pretty honest, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So you can't verify your vote.
Try again.
Now, Michael Corbyn, what did he start to show off talking about yesterday?
Illegal
immigration. Yeah. Now, I just read today, one out of every seven people in this country, Lisa, mm-hmm. one of every seven now is Hispanic. Can you believe it?
Yes, I can.
And considering their reproduction rate compared to ours,
yeah.
guess it's going to start becoming one in every six, one in every five, one in every four. And when you start to do the mathematics, it starts becoming pretty clear what's
yep.
going on here.
Yeah. Well, there's not any assimilation into the culture.
Right, and that's the other problem. So one last thing now, Watergate. There's a lot of talk coming out that this guy named Mark Felt really isn't Deep Throat, or the only Deep Throat. What do you think about that?
All right. My dad's Deep Throat.
Yeah. And, well, here's what it is Bob Woodward, of course, is the one that's verifying all this stuff. But isn't it funny how he waited until this guy's 91 years old,
yeah.
can barely speak, so he can't verify any of the information, or a lot of it. And it's just like when he went to the hospital once when Bill Casey was in a coma and supposedly got this big, long confession from Casey about mm-hmm. all his crimes. And they ended up proving later then that there's no way that Casey could have gave this testimony because he was in a coma.
So what's the purpose of this guy coming out and saying he's Deep Throat after in 1999 he said he wasn't Deep Throat?
Right. Well, here's one thing. There was a letter to the editor in our local paper, and they said, everyone's focusing now on Deep Throat, but they said nobody's paying attention to the real crimes back then, the genocide in mm-hmm. Vietnam and Laos and Cambodia, how they went in and carpet bombed. Richard Nixon once said, about, you remember Project Phoenix,
mm-hmm.
it was Doug Valentine we had on the show. Nixon said, kill anything that moves. That was his philosophy about the Phoenix Project. And they're not talking about the COINTELPRO programs against
students.
No,
it's more important to fixate on the whistleblower.
Yeah. Instead of how about Henry Kissinger and all his war crimes?
Yeah, let's talk about Henry someday.
Yeah. How about the how Nixon took us finally off the gold standard once and for all? Nobody's talking about those
things. Fake accent.
Yeah. But we're talking about Deep Throat. You know, just another diversion. Now, let's get back into the...
And the guy can't even talk, right?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because Michael Collins, Piper, and others have said that Henry Kissinger's accent, the whole thing is completely
phony. I'm talking about the felt guy.
Oh, yeah.
He can't even talk now, right?
Yeah, well, that's just it. He can't confirm any of this information.
Deep throat lost his tongue.
Yeah. Now, back to the alternative media. Lisa's article is on today. It's called Give a Man Enough Rope, about Mr. Jack Blood.
Mm-hmm.
And,
it's basically spelling out what the whole scenario is with this alleged backstabbing that John Clayton, that's his real name, John Clayton is accusing us of on various forums and on his own website, too. So check it out. If you didn't get to see the show, it pretty much spells out the whole situation. There's lots of links in there that you can listen to John Statton's show.
That's a must listen to.
The revealing side of Jack Blood, also known as John Clayton.
Yeah, a.k.a. J.C. Clayton. Right. So he goes by a lot of different names.
He's got some aliases there.
Yeah. Now, a couple of days ago when we ran this first article on Blood, I dropped him an email, said, in the sake of full disclosure, this article is up here. Well, he's sending me emails and blah, blah, blah. And finally, in one of them, he says, well, I'd love to come on your show and talk about this sometime. Right. So I emailed him back and I said, well, Jack, you know what? We'd love to have you on our show. But first of all, we would like to appear on your show and we want to talk about all the censorship going on
at GCN.
Well, Jack's coming back and all these excuses and diversions and so forth. Finally, I say, Jack, answer the question.
Right.
You know when he does these 20-minute infomercials on his show with these health products and he's so focused? I said, well, Jack, maybe you need to double your dose because you can't answer questions directly. So finally he says, no, you aren't coming on my show. So we say, okay then, so be it. He's the one that offered.
Look what he followed that up with. They won't let me come on their show.
Yeah.
John Clayton, you don't dictate terms to us.
Right. And since the censorship issue was the first and foremost thing that came out about all this a couple years ago with Alex censoring articles, then we figured this takes precedence.
And you'd think that he would be jumping to have all his listeners hear us debate this on his show.
So Jack wanted to come on our show, but it seems like, Lisa, that there's an edict from above. All this heat that we're bringing on GCN, on Alex Jones, Jeff Renz, Jack Blood, but nobody's saying a word. And we can't prove it, but there's like an edict that says, don't mention this on any of our shows on GCN.
Of course, he wants you to print a retraction about the information that's being put out about him. Jack, I hate to tell you this, but you're not a credible source of information about yourself.
Exactly.
So that's been proven.
Now, the best thing is that we're noticing all these different websites now, like unsafer.com, that are printing the Jack Blood material. So, folks, you're doing a fantastic job.
Right.
Just keep getting the word out. Tell people about it. And we're exposing these people. And when we bring Blood's article out next Friday, that one's going to make everything else look like child's play. So just wait till you see this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
A couple things we have to cover real quick. There's still people out there, Lisa, that believe that no planes actually hit the World Trade Center towers. Can you believe it?
No.
It's unbelievable. We're not even going to mention their names. But now they say, well, they don't think it's a hologram. What they think is that Hollywood created all this in a studio and then fed it to the networks.
It was the stork that hit the towers.
You know, when these people are so ludicrous that they're an embarrassment to even be in this movement.
You should ask my friend who was standing at the base of one of the towers when one of the planes hit.
Yeah.
If a real plane hit the towers.
Yeah. Now, another disclosure yesterday, it seems like the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, listed our OKC 10th anniversary rally on their website as a hate gathering.
As an extremist.
Yeah.
Thank you. We've been trying for so long to get on the ADL's hate list.
We'll take that as a badge of honor. And I know other people have commented saying that other people that were at the 10th anniversary said the same thing. So
you know that some of the people that they list on their website as one of the hate extremist groups, you know you're hitting your target pretty well when you get on the ADL's hate list.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Exactly. Now, we've been getting some emails also about Ted Anderson and his whole gold thing that he's involved in.
Yeah, we got a really good one. Yeah.
Here's one. And I'm going to just read a short part of it. It says, Ted Anderson and his cronies sell fear in the U.S. dollar to sell gold coins that have a very poor resale value to frightened individuals. See? Selling fear. He goes on to say, Also, they sell bucket boiler house commodity brokers reports to buy gold shares and hyped companies and risky options to naive investors. What they don't tell people is that if the U.S. dollar collapses and the U.S. government is going to have to sell gold to pay for its energy imports, or the IMF, that's the International Monetary Fund, will make the U.S. government sell gold to support the dollar. Either way, gold is going to follow the dollar straight down. So what is supposed to be a hedge against the collapse of the dollar is guaranteed to fail, and the coins anyway have a terrible resale value. And this was also confirmed
but
by...
keep buying that gold.
Yeah. I mean, like, after what we've heard today about GCN, Alex Jones, and all this, these people, how they're so obsessed with money, how they chew out Michael Corbin for not pumping enough videos out there, for not saying bye, bye, bye. Here's what I have to say to everybody out there. If you give GCN or Alex Jones even one penny ever of your money, there's only one word that should be stamped on your forehead.
Chump.
Sucker. You're suckers because, yeah, chump and sucker. And, you know, Francis Stephan. Here's another guy confirming this stuff about GCN.
American Voices Radio Network.
Right. And Rick Stanley says about him, he says, my producer isn't going to sell out like that.
Right.
And you know another thing that...
Well, Stephan was telling us about how Ted Anderson raids networks for hosts.
Right.
And on one occasion, five hosts left the network.
What he did was...
What an underhanded snake.
Yeah, he used Walmart tactics where he goes into a network, raids it, and says, I'll give you free airtime.
He told me on the phone when I called him about the censorship. He said, well, maybe at some point you could do a show on GCN. He even said that to me.
Yeah.
And I almost hung up on him.
And you know another thing, since we're talking about Rick Stanley for a second there, a couple different times when I was talking to Jack Blood on the phone, he was bad-mouthing Stanley like crazy, saying, these are the kind of people we need out of our movement. You know, these gun-toting militia people like that.
Well, you mean these fearless patriots who will stand up for truth
and
in a public
action.
Way on their own.
Yeah.
Without a crowd.
And Jack Blood, of all the people in the world to criticize, he's criticizing Rick Stanley. What an embarrassment. So, finally, we got a call yesterday from someone. They had just seen the new Star Wars movie. And I guess, I don't know anything about Star Wars, but he says that there was a good character that finally evolved and became Darth Vader, the bad character.
The only thing I know about Star Wars is that one of our cats looks exactly like Darth Vader.
Well, one of this guy said that that's exactly the way Alex Jones has become, that he started off with good intentions, but he's become now this Darth Vader. He's joined the dark side.
He's become that which he fights.
So Alex Jones and GCN are using fear plus this obsessive greed for money.
Paranoia.
To create this like cult around them. And as we said again, you're suckers if you're buying into it, because how many people do you need to come out now and tell you this stuff? Last but not least, Lisa, tomorrow we're going up and seeing the King of the Daredevils, Evel Knievel. He's going to give a speech, and I remember in the 70s watching all his jumps, you know,
He broke every single bone in his body.
Exactly.
At least once.
Yeah, so we watched some of his videos last night, and it said at one time period, in 3.5 years, he had 14 major operations where they cut into his body and had to put steel into it. 14 different times.
Because he won't be going through those metal detectors, huh?
Yeah, really. And we told this story before, once when he was at the Cow Palace. That's when we had this big like ski jump entrance. And Frank Gifford was interviewing him, and Evel said, there's no way I can make this jump. The gearing isn't right. The nothing. I can't make it.
And
Frank says, well, just don't do it then. And Evel says, you think I'm going to go out there and tell that the whole arena's filled? He says, you think I'm going to go out there and tell those people I'm not doing this jump? He went in there, and that was one of the worst, where he's spinning.
How the hell does he get through the airport?
I know. I don't think. He probably just takes his x-ray with him. You know, after he did the Caesar's Palace jump, he was in a coma for 29 days. He's been refused insurance by 32 different companies.
Is that surprising?
Yeah. And like Lisa said, he broke virtually every single bone in his body. And one of the doctors, they said, well, what is this comparable to? And they said, this would be like getting in 10 major severe auto accidents right in a row. 10 of them in a row. That's what this guy has gone through. And he's still kicking. And
never float your boat.
Yeah. Even at one point, there was a writer that wrote something. His name was Sheldon Saltman. Uh-huh. And he said that Evel was a drug addict and that he was anti-Semitic and so forth. Evel Knievel went out, tracked this guy down, took a baseball bat, and broke the guy's hand. And he said, why'd you break his hand? He says, because I don't want that son of a bitch to ever write another word about me ever.
Also, let's reiterate again, anti means against. Semitism means favoritism towards Jews. It also applies to Arabs. So, against favoritism towards Jews or Arabs. What's wrong with that label?
Yeah. So when we see a guy like Evel Knievel, who's a man that stands out there and he says, don't stand on the sidelines. He says, get involved, do something. He did something where he flew through the air on a motorcycle.
And it may not be something anyone else would choose to do, but you got to give the guy credit. Yeah. He has some guts.
But see, all of you can do the same thing. All of you can get involved. We sit in front of a TV camera and bring you this show. You can get involved by spreading the word and telling everybody you know what schmucks are out there that are destroying our alternative media, Alex Jones, Ted Anderson, and all the rest of them at GCN. They're bringing this movement down.
And why aren't they promoting 9/11, the 9/11 event that we want everybody to go to Ground Zero on 9/11 at high noon, be there to show a strong public presence for truth. It's not an organized event, but we want a lot of the public out there, as many of you as possible. How come we're not hearing Alex and Jack Blood and a lot of these other radio talk show hosts telling you to get out there on the street?
Go out there and make your voices heard.
Direct activism is the key. It's the only thing that's going to save us. Not passing around a freaking video.
Yeah, not passing around Alex Jones's video. So, Evel Knievel, we can't wait to see you tomorrow. This isn't a guy that would hide behind his microphone.
I can't imagine what he would have to say.
Yeah.
This is motorcycle number one in this garbage can.
Well, I tell you, I love to watch his jumps on those videotapes, but even more so, this guy has such a great philosophy. A philosophy, he's from Butte, Montana, and it's a philosophy of standing up and taking action and doing something. That's what we're trying to do, and that's what we want all of you to do.
Tell you what, nobody can say he never lived his life.
You better believe it. You better believe it. So, folks, we'll see you again on Monday. Make your voices heard. And just keep your eyes open. There's a lot going on.
See you then.
All right, folks, we're back. And I'll tell you what, we've got waiting in the wings Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani from Wing TV. And if they'll just hold on 1 second, I want to clear these phone calls out so we can just get in, end that segment, and get into 9/11 on Trial, the World Trade Center Collapse. Outstanding book. And we'll talk to these fine folks in just a few minutes. Hank in Texas, thanks for holding, Hank.
Yeah, hello, John. Listen, I want to tell you, you've done a great thing there, and I wish you the best. I wish Jack the best. We've got a big thing to do to educate folks, and you know, people do things. Sometimes they make mistakes, and I just say, forget it and move on with your mission.
Well, we have no choice, but you got to understand something, and this is the honest God's truth. I'm not embellishing, I'm not lying. Jack actually said to my wife, "I would sell out if the price was right," and she was astonished by that statement. She looked at him and said, "My husband never would." Here's my point. Here's what happens to people when they have their metal tested. When things are the darkest or things are the worst, that's when you start to see people's true character. And the point of it is that why be like mainstream? Get up and you got the gift, the gab, and you got the glitz and the glamour and the blah, 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 and da, 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 but there's nothing behind it. We have got to field better people out there. We are trying to, Hank, trying to demonstrate a better way of doing things. Like we used to do. We used to deal with people honestly and forthright. You know, there weren't contracts. It was a meeting of the eyes and a shaking of the hand. Either we do this and demand that of ourselves, or as I said earlier, just sell out and take the paycheck because they pay better.